Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles tonight, open the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and I know some of you were able to go up last night to First Baptist and Laura, where Brother Stone was preaching up there, and just to try to be an encouragement to the church there, but also Brother Stone, and of course a great message Brother Stone preached, but of course, looking forward to him and Miss Ruthie being with us in March, and they'll be coming in March to do our marriage retreat and our revival, so looking forward to them being with us. And of course, Brother Stone is also working to try to help represent the American Gospel Project here in the United States as they're working to finish up there in Canada. Brother Stone's going to be working with us trying to really promote the American Gospel Project. In fact, he was just at a church in Ohio just a few weeks ago, and he said it was a little smaller church. He said there was about 25 people, but he presented the need for the American Gospel Project, and afterwards they took up an offering, and they gave him $4,000 for the American Gospel Project. And so that's a blessing, and so it's exciting. We're, as we mentioned before, if there's anybody that's able to help us to bundle the John and Romans into bundles of 50, we're looking to try to do another county here in Ohio and get that, get those John and Romans sent out to another county here. And so if anybody's able to help with that, we'd sure appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read down to verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. And so, again, let's all read it together. And if you need the words, if you don't have your Bible with you, the words will be on the screen. But if you have a Bible there or using the words on the screen, we'll read that corporately together from Hebrews 13, verses 1 all the way through verse number 6. Let's read that together. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we're looking here through the book of Hebrews, really kind of coming to the end of the book of Hebrews, as he gives this final challenge, this final charge, you could say. And obviously, as we've gone through, the main emphasis throughout the book of Hebrews has been to help several different groups of people, obviously dealing specifically with Jewish people, the Hebrews, but there were some that had come to faith in Christ, but there was still some confusion about Judaism, and as there was kind of this transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there was still some confusion and what should be done, what shouldn't be done. In fact, even when you go back to Acts chapter 15 in the early church, there was some confusion there. Are we supposed to keep the law of Moses? Are we not supposed to keep the law of Moses? What's going on? And so as the author is writing here, he's showing us how everything is sufficient in Christ. Jesus Christ is that final sacrifice. There doesn't have to be any more sacrifice, right? What he has done is sufficient. It's perfect. There's nothing more that can be added to it. It's enough, right? And so he's trying to help those that are a little confused, but then he's also trying to help those that are trying to figure it out. They're kind of stuck in between. They're not sure if they should turn to Christianity or if they should continue in Judaism. So he's trying to help them see the sufficiency of Christ in salvation and that there's no other way. And of course, then there are those that are just complete unbelievers. They're just complete unbelievers, and hopefully through some of the things that he said, that he's going to try to help them to see that that Judaism and all of those things, that was a shadow of what he says, a shadow of things to come, right? And so he's trying to help this group of people, but when we come really to chapter 13, I believe that there's basically one group of people that he has in mind here in chapter 13, and that's believers. He's gone through trying to help and those that are believers and trying to figure out some doctrinal things. He's gone through and tried to help those that are trying to figure out if they want to become believers, if they fully think Christ is enough. And then, of course, there are those that just are unbelievers. But here in chapter 13, I really believe that he kind of brings it down, focusing now as he kind of concludes this to those who he knows are true believers. Those who he knows have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, understanding that Christ is sufficient. There's nothing else that needs to be done. You don't have to go back to the sacrifices. You don't have to go back to the laws. You don't have to go to any of those things. It is sufficient in Christ. And so as he kind of gives, we could say, some spiritual assignments here. There's some spiritual assignments that he's going to give to those who truly know Christ as their Savior. There's some spiritual assignments here that as we look, I believe these are some spiritual assignments that we need as well. So we're going to look at these spiritual assignments as we go through this chapter here. Notice the very first one, number one, verse number one, let brotherly love continue. So here's the first spiritual assignment that he says to these believers, love one another. Love one another. He says, let brotherly love continue. Now, it appears that this was something they had previously done, right? It appears that, again, he uses the word continue, let brotherly love continue. So it's by saying continue, that means they were already doing it, right? You can't continue something if you haven't been doing it. In fact, if you go back to chapter number 6, notice what he says in verse number 10. Chapter 6, he says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So what's he saying? He says, hey, God's not going to forget what you've done, the work that you've done, how you've loved the brethren, how you've ministered to them, right? So he says, let brotherly love continue. This was something that they had previously done, as we just saw in Hebrews, but either because of a lack of doing it, maybe they had done it and then they kind of had maybe slacked off a little bit, or just a reminder, he exhorts them to continue in brotherly love. He says, let brotherly love continue. And may I say, is this not the commandment that Jesus left to believers when he returned to heaven? This is exactly what Jesus told those who are following him, right? In John chapter 13, and verse number 35, he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And then what does he say? If ye have love one to another. So he says, this is how they're going to know. And this is, you know, sometimes we overcomplicate things, right? Sometimes we can even over-spiritualize things, right? We say, well, how are we supposed to know if somebody's truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, you know, because they're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. How do you know if somebody's really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, they're reading their Bible through every year, you know. I mean, they're reading it through. How do you know if somebody's really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, you know, because they're giving out gospel tracts. How do you know if somebody's, you know, that's not what he said. It's not what he said. What did he say? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. How? If ye have love one to another. He says, you want people to know that you're my disciple? This is it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Well, Pastor said we don't have to come to church. That's not what I said. Right? Pastor said we don't have to read the Bible. That's not how we're supposed to be a disciple. We're not supposed to read the Bible. No, that's not what I said either, right? But we have this idea that that's how we, you know, a person that's truly sold out to God, you know, they're going to be a missionary, or they're going to be a pastor, or they're going to, you know, read the Bible through every year, or they're going to win so many people to Jesus every year. Wait, he says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. This right here. If you have love one to another. Now, again, let's not overcomplicate it. Why would he say that instead of saying, you know, by this shall all men know if you're my disciples, if you're willing to forsake all and follow me and go to another country and read the Bible through and all? You see, can we really be honest about it and say that, let's be honest, It's probably easier to read the Bible through. It's probably easier to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's probably easier to do something than to love one another. Right? That's why we're willing to do, but what he wants to know is, are you willing to love? He says, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Again, in John 13, 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Jesus said, this is the commandment I'm giving you. I want you to love one another. I want you to love one another. Now, again, remember specifically who he's talking to, right? Specifically, who's he talking to? We could say, well, you know, there's this great big multitude of people, and there's men, and there's women, and there's children. I mean, there's just multitude of people that he's talking to. That's not who he's talking to. If you go and you look, guess who he's talking to? He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the disciples. Remember the disciples that were always kind of arguing amongst themselves? The disciples who were always trying to get one up on the other? The disciples who were always just trying to think of themselves first? Jesus said, hold on, guys, let me tell you something. You really want people to know you're my disciples? Here's how. Why don't you love one another? Peter, why don't you love John? John, why don't you love Bartholomew? Hey, James, why don't you love Andrew? He says, this is how you're going to know, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples. If you have love one to another. This is why he says, this is this command I give you. John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. John 15, 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. I mean, how many times does Jesus say, this is my commandment, love one another? How many times do we have to hear that? I mean, he says it over and over and over again. It seems like this is kind of important to Jesus. It's kind of important to him that he would repeat it and reiterate it over and over and over. So if it's so important to Jesus and he tells us to do it, why do we have such a hard time doing it? Again, you tell us something to do, you know, hey, read the Bible through, hey, I can do that. Hey, be faithful in church, yep, I can do that. Hey, take a track, give a track out, hey, I can do that. Love one another. I just don't know if I can do that. Wait a minute, that's what he says. He says we are to love one another. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to do what he says in this? Right? Again, he says this is the assignment, the spiritual assignment. He says, let brotherly love continue. But why is it so hard for us to love? Well, I think if you look over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Look over with me in Romans chapter 12. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Again, Paul writing to the church in Rome, right? Notice what he says in verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Anybody know what the word dissimulation means? It means hypocrisy, right? Hypocrisy, right? Let love be without dissimulation, hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. See, here's why I think it's so hard for us to love others, because notice what it says at the end of verse number 10, preferring one another. You know why we don't want to love one another? Because that means we would have to prefer them over me. That means we'd have to be more concerned about them than myself. And that's why we find it so hard. That's why we find. Now look, there's people that, let's be honest, there's people that we don't have a problem loving them. They're just lovable. You know? I mean, they're just lovable. But it's interesting. When you look at those people that you find who are lovable, you know what you find? They prefer others. They're willing to lift others up. They're willing to think of others instead of thinking of self. Think about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, he says that ye be like-minded, having the same love. And then this is what he says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better. Ooh. That's not what we want to read. I mean, if it said, let each esteem other the same, that might be one thing. But he said, let each esteem other. Yeah, we have a hard time saying that, don't we? Better than yourselves? Means I have to prefer them before me. I have to esteem them better. Better than myself. And so because we understand what it means to love, when Jesus says we're to love one another, we understand what that means, and that's why we don't want to do it. We don't want to prefer others. We don't want to esteem others better than ourselves. Now, look, we could obviously say there's two parts of this, right? We could say, you know, we can love Christians, and then we could love the world, right? We get that. I understand that. But let's just stick to really what I believe he's talking about here, right? He says, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love, right? You know what brotherly love means, right? Again, it's the idea of siblings being born from the same womb, right? They're siblings, right? And he says, as believers, we have been born of God. Every single one of us. We are born of God. We are part of the same family. And so just as siblings are to love one another, he says, hey, this is what I want for you as believers, that we are to think of the others. We are to think of others, not just ourselves. We are to prefer others, not just to what I want, but let me think about what they want. We are to esteem them better than ourselves. You see, so many times in how we live the Christian life, it's not about anybody else, it's about me. And this is why he says there's a spiritual assignment here. We are to love one another. I think this is exactly what John means when he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 11, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now, turn over with me to 1 John chapter 3 there. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, this verse number 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now watch, look at the contrast in the next verse. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, so think about this, right? You have two physical brothers that he's talking about here. There are two physical brothers. But notice these two physical brothers are from two different families. Did you notice that? He You say, I thought there was only one woman that God made. When God made Adam and Eve, you mean there was somebody else? No. Physical brothers, same mom and dad, Adam and Eve, but two different families. Look what it says. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. He said, here's the thing. Even though they were siblings, he said the problem was they were from two different families. They were from two different spiritual families. One was of the wicked one. One was righteous. And the reason why the wicked one slew and killed, the reason why Cain killed his brother was because he was of the wicked one. He was following what Satan desired. He was following what the devil wanted instead of what God wanted. Now look, we understand there's no verse in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 4, that says God told Cain and Abel that they had to love one another. There's no verse, right? You know why? Because there doesn't have to be a verse. That is the nature that God has placed in us. When Adam and Eve were created, that was that nature, right? Just as we are born of a sinful nature, when God created Adam and Eve, there was that nature to love. That's why he tells Adam, in dealing with the issue of marriage, he says, hey, you are to leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. Hey, there shouldn't be anybody more important when you get married. There shouldn't be any more important than your wife, than your husband. Why? Because God has instituted that idea of love. Why? Because God is love. He is love. And so what happens is Cain chooses to leave God's family and say, hey, I'm going to follow what the devil says. I'm going to listen to what the devil says. And I'm going to allow myself to be placed into a different family. And because he chose to listen to the devil, he ends up killing his own brother. So think about this, right? Look at the contrast. The wicked family hates. The wicked family desires something harmful to happen to the other. The righteous family doesn't hate. The righteous family doesn't want something harmful to happen to someone else. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? This. We can say, oh, I'm a Christian. Great, praise God. But here's what he says. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple, if you have love one for another. He said, this is how other brothers and sisters are going to know if you're truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, by the love that you have for one another. It's easy to say, oh, I love God. It's easy to say, oh, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever. Okay, great. Then why do we want harm done to them? You say, oh, Pastor, I would never want any harm to be done. You ever heard of something called gossip? You ever talk about somebody behind their back? You ever criticize them to somebody else? You know what that is? That's harm. We think harm is in physical, right? Like Cain slew his brother, physically killed him. That's not the only way you harm somebody. We have this idea, as long as I don't physically hurt them, then I'm okay. No. You talk about somebody behind their back, you criticize them, you bring them down, you start, you are saying you hate them. That's exactly what Cain did. That's what he says. This is what he's saying. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. He said, hey, We say that we love God. We say we have the love of God. Okay, fine. Then why are we trying to hurt our own brothers and sisters in Christ? Why are we trying to tear them down? Why are we trying to criticize them? Why are we trying to spit on them and stomp on them? And when they make a mistake, man, we just crucify them. Why are we trying to do that? That's not love. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we condone sin or anything like that. But I'm saying we do more harm to brothers and sisters in Christ than anybody does. Because we're choosing to prefer self. We're choosing not to esteem them better than self. We're saying, I'm better than you. I'm preferred before you, so therefore I can do anything I want to you. Can I tell you, friend, that's not love. That's not what he's saying when he says we're to love one another. He says in chapter 4, look over in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because it's really a rhetorical question. Right? It's rhetorical. So don't raise your hand. But if I was to ask, how many of you believe that God loves you? It's rhetorical, right? Obviously, every hand would be raised. We say, yes, God loves me. Yes, we would even have the proof, the evidence that God loves us because he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And he's given us salvation and he's coming back to take us back with him. And he's blessed us in so many different ways while we're here on the earth. So we would say, yes, we know that God loves us. So, if God so loved us, what's he say? We ought also to love one another. Look, friend, there's no way around it. You can try to make up any excuse you want. Well, this person just did me wrong. Did you do God wrong? Did you do Jesus wrong? And he still loved you. He still gave himself for you. He still died on the cross for your sins. He still prepared you a home in heaven. That you can't make an excuse for a reason why not to love someone. Unless it's, I'm preferring myself above them. Unless it's, I'm esteeming myself better than them. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what somebody's done to me. I don't. I don't know what anybody's done to you, and you don't know what people have done to me. I don't. And you don't. But that doesn't change the fact that he says we're to love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye have love one for another. I mean, doesn't Jesus say, look, it's easy to do good to someone that does good to you? Isn't that what Jesus said? It's easy to do good to somebody who does something. It's easy to love someone who loves you in return. But can you love someone who doesn't love you in return? Will you love someone who has harmed you or hurt you or criticized you or done something to you? You see, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. What greater reason can we have to love others than the simple fact that God loved us, so we ought to love one another? Like brothers, siblings, they have a special bond between each other, that unbreakable union that even when we have differences of opinion and things, we still have each other's backs. So that's that brotherly love that he wants us to have as believers. Because we're brothers. Because we're of the same family. Not just loving like brothers, but loving because we are brothers. We are on the same side. We're on the same side. We're on the same side. At least I hope we are. Right? I hope we're on the same side. And this is what he says in 1 John 3:14. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He says, we know we have passed from death, that spiritual death, darkness, separation from God, unto life, spiritual life. Now we're part of the family of God. He says, hey, you want to know that you've really gotten saved? You want to know that you've really passed from death to life? It's going to be evident by how you love the brethren. That's what he says. Because we love the brethren. Remember he said back in chapter 10, verse 24, in Hebrews, he says we are to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Remember that back in chapter 10, verse number 24? He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So can I ask you tonight, who are you provoking to love? Who are you provoking to love? Who is it? Maybe we should go about this a different way, right? It's easy to find the people, it's easy to say, oh, I love this person, right? I love this person. They're just so awesome. You know, I mean, they just always have a smile. You know, they shake my hand. You know, they always have a word of encouragement. You know, it's easy to find the people that we can love, right? So can I ask you to think about the person you don't love? You're like, Pastor, you just changed the whole mood of the service. I was really into it. You know, I was excited. You know, I was thinking about the people that love me and that I love them. No. Think about the people you have a hard time loving. And every one of you right now just thought of somebody, didn't you? Somebody that you have a hard time loving. Why? Oh, we can come up with all kinds of reasons. We can come up with all kinds of reasons why we don't love them or why we have a hard time loving them. But what did he tell us to do? He said, love them. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I want you to go with me to the book of John, John chapter 15, really quick. I think it's very interesting that the author here in Hebrews, as he's giving these spiritual assignments, he starts with this one. Because this is one that I think we struggle with the most. To love one another. You know, the world already hates us. Do you know that? The world already hates us. We don't need someone else to hate us. The world already does, right? Look what he says in John chapter 15. Look in verse number 17. These things I command you that ye, love one another, right? If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So he says, look, the world already hates you, right? Remember, we got Cain, we got Abel. Cain, spiritual family, the devil. Abel, spiritual family, God. He hated Abel. Why? Because his works were righteous. His works were pleasing to God. God wouldn't accept Cain's, and so he hated him. Right? You understand? The world hates you. If you're saying, hey, I'm saved and I'm lining up, I'm in God's family here, the world already hates you. The world already hates you. You're on this side with hopefully a bunch of other people. Hopefully, everybody in this room. Hopefully, most of the people in this church. Christians, you're on this side. That side hates this side. This side isn't supposed to hate this side. That side hates this side. Guess what this side's supposed to do? Love one another. This is what he says. This is how the world's going to know that you're mine. Stop. Hey, they already hate you. They already hate you. So show them that you're my disciple. Don't show hate. Show love. Show the love of Jesus Christ. This is what he says. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He says, the reason why there is hatred against you is because they're not part of the same family. They're not part of the same family. But those that are part of the same family, there ought to be love for one another there. There ought to be love that the world looks at and says, look, I understand we're different. I understand I already hate you. But do you see how many different people are in your family? Do you see how many different views and ideas and preferences and things are in your family? And you all love each other? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. How is the world going to see anything different than what they already have if we have hatred one for another too? The world already hates. They hate us. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to show them something different. We're supposed to show them the love of Christ. But before, look, can we say before we can show them the love of Christ? I think I can be pretty honest about this. I can't say that I love them if I can't love my own family. How can I say I love somebody that's not even part of my family? I love somebody that's lost, but I can't even love my own family? Come on. Remember what he said back in 1 John? He said, this is how you know, if you have love for the brethren, not love for the world, love for the brethren. And this is why it's so hard, because we prefer self. We think more of self than we... That's why we're willing to tear people down. We're willing to stomp on them. We're willing to criticize. We're willing to gossip about them. We're willing to say anything we can as long as we are lifted up. As long as we get glory out of it or whatever. Hey, we'll do whatever we can. We'll say whatever we can. Doesn't matter if it hurts anybody. And I tell you, friend, that's wrong. That's wrong for a Christian. It's sin. It's sin. Well, how can you say it's sin? Because Jesus said, this is the commandment that I give you. Love one another. And if we're not loving one another, we're going against the commandment that he gave, which is sin. It's sin. So I don't know who you need to love. I mean, I know who you do, the whole family. But I don't know who it is in your life that you just have a hard time loving. I don't know who that is. But this is what he says. Provoke one another unto love and to good works. So instead of waiting for that person to love you, here's what our assignment is. Love them. It's our assignment. This is the spiritual assignment that he gives us. The very first thing, let brotherly love continue. Now, I'll be honest. If we're not going to do verse number one in this first assignment that he gives, we're probably not going to do the rest of them either. So here's the assignment. Who is it that you have a hard time loving? Find a way to love it. Find a way to show them the love of Christ. Find a way to love them. Find a way to encourage them. Look, understand what I'm saying. I understand there may be some things where trust issues or something like that has happened. I'm not saying they've got to be your best friend. But he says you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to love them. You know that person that comes in, and as soon as you see him, you're like, well, I hope they don't see me, because I don't want to talk to them. You know that person? Why not, instead of saying, oh, I hope they don't see me, why don't you look for them next time? Why don't you look for them? And why don't you go up to them and say, man, I'm so glad to see you today. I've been praying for you. Now, don't lie. Hopefully you have been praying for them. I tell you, it's a whole lot easier to love somebody if you've been praying for them. A whole lot easier. You see, again, what good is the Word of God? What good are these things that God tells us to do if we're not going to do them? You can sit there and say, I'm not going to love him. I'm not going to love her. I'm not going to love him. I'm not going to love them. You know, I'll never get over what they did to me. Okay. Then you have chosen to disobey what God says. You've chosen to do that. And I can tell you this, when you choose to willingly disobey God, you're going to be miserable. Look how long, think of the time that you've already hated them, and look how miserable life has been about it. Why don't you change it? Why don't you say, hey, instead of hating them, I'm just going to love them. Instead of talking bad about them and discouraging things, I'm going to try to encourage them. I'm going to put them before me. It's hard. That's why we have to have the love of Christ working through us to enable us to do that. Spiritual assignment number one, here's what he says. Love one another. Will you do it? I hope so. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, in this area. Lord, as we go through these different things, these spiritual assignments, Lord, you've commanded us over and over and over and over that we are to love one another. Lord, specifically our own brothers and sisters in Christ, the brethren. So, Father, I pray you to help us, Lord, to love one another, to prefer others more than self. Lord, help us not to talk badly about brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us not to gossip. Help us not to criticize and to tear down. Lord, help us not to have that anger, that hatred in our heart for any brother or sister in Christ. Lord, help us to pray for them. If there are those that maybe have offended us, Lord, may we pray for them. May we forgive them. May we look for opportunities and ways to love them and show the love of Christ. Lord, this is a command that you've given to us. And if we can't love our own brothers and sisters in Christ, how can we love a lost and dying world that hates us? Lord, we need to show a lost and dying world what true love really is by being able to even love our brothers and sisters in Christ that maybe have hurt us. Lord, as we love them and show them the love of Christ, the world is able to see what Christ can do through us and that love that you can show through us. So, Father, I pray you'd help us in these things, Lord. We need this. We need to show love one to another, just as you loved us. Father, would you help us in this? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.